it's taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2, starting at verse number 1. It's a little lengthy because I started to chop it up, but I'm like, nah, I want us to hear in the entire story. Starting at verse 1, please follow along. I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem. Because he was descended from the house and family of David, he went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In the region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I want you to put your Bible down. Grab your neighbor by both hands and look them square in the eye. Grab by both hands. Look them square in the eye. This is something that they need to hear this Christmas day. And say, neighbor, you are not forgotten. Neighbor, you are not forgotten. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "You Are Not Forgotten." You see, there's a reality we got to deal with. Everybody say reality.
Reality.
The reality that I want you to know that some folk today feel as though they have been forgotten. You know why they feel like they've been forgotten? Because they know they ain't going to get to any gifts or any gifts at all today. Some folk are going to be sitting home, probably eating a bologna sandwich because nobody invited them to dinner, or there's just not enough money to go anywhere else. And because of that, so many folk feel forgotten. Somebody is going through an illness right now. "Lord, I've been serving you. I've been praising you. How do I end up in this place?" So in some situations, some folk feel that they are. You see, and I want you to know there's somebody in here right now who feels forgotten, because you're saying, "I just can't believe they walked by me and didn't say to me, Merry Christmas." Are you working with me? You see, but the one thing that I want to get in your spirit today is that I want you to know, no matter what is going on, no matter how small things might appear or how things aren't like they used to be, I want you to know that you are not
forgotten.
Now, let's go on. You don't believe me? Let me go show you something. I want to show you something. I want you to look at this young lady whose name is Mary. I'm not going to go over the whole history. If you want to get all the history on that, go listen to the last three sermons. Amen? Amen. And also, we are seeing here, as we look at this in the first seven verses here in this in chapter number 2, we're seeing how there had been a decree sent out, and we're seeing that Mary and Joseph had to leave Nazareth and come all the way to Bethlehem, which is roughly an 80-mile journey. I ain't going to give you all the details on that. Listen to the sermon that we did last week, because we talked about her being pregnant and all this other good stuff. But what I want you to know, was that when they arrived in the town, Reverend Dan, girlfriend, as they say, is at that point where the Savior is about to enter in this world. And there's no place for them to lay their head. But it just goes also to show you that sometimes when folk get so caught up in what they're doing, they ain't got time to see whatever you are going through. And what we're seeing here is that I just wonder, in the mind of Mary, folk know she's pregnant. Folks see that her and Joseph, you know, I want y'all to know, they weren't lodging in charge. They ain't have a whole lot of money, because if they had a whole lot of money, they wouldn't be concerned with staying anywhere. It's because of the fact that they were just getting by. Anybody know about that getting by? All of us have been in there. You might not be there now, but there was a time you was just getting by. There was a time you would have loved to go somewhere and have a good steak. But you just getting by, so you going on eating that Spam and fried them, put a little cheese on it. You see, some of us know about how we're just getting by, because you ain't have enough money to fill up the tank in your car, but you had $5 and you was praying that $5 worth of gas would take you a mighty long way. Why? Because you was just. You see, and I want you to understand that the reality is, no matter where we are in this state in life right now, but I want you to know that there was a time when a lot of us was just. You see, so when I look here at Mary and Joseph, they were at a time in their lives that they were just what, y'all? And since they were just getting by, you know, so they in so many ways were invisible. Because of the fact that, don't you know, a lot of poor folk are really invisible to a lot of society. Folk ain't looking at poor folk. We ain't got time for poor folk. You know, we just doing our own thing, got our own stuff. So in so many ways, people who are just getting by are invisible. And when folks start to feel invisible, what do they think? That they are what? You see, and when I look here at Mary and Joseph and their situation, folk can see the woman is about to have a baby. But he, the thing is, if I could just use my spiritual imagination and just mess with it a little bit, Reverend Rose, yes, you know, I could just see them coming up to one of the innkeepers, Reverend Dab, and the innkeeper said, "I ain't got a room." And he looked at them and said, "Well, you know what? Y'all ain't got no money, so I can't even kick somebody else out and put y'all in, because y'all ain't got enough. So you know what? I ain't got nothing for you." We don't know how that went down. But all we do know is that nobody made room. You know how we'll say sometimes, we don't have it, we just don't want to give it to you. Can we just be real this morning? We'll tell folk real quick, "I don't have it." Yes, you do. "I just don't want to give it to." Now, as we look at this story, because come on back. I ain't trying to lose you. I ain't trying to get you mad at me. I want you to see this reality. I want you to see. I'm trying to make sure that we make the connection and understanding that as Mary and Joseph were there in Bethlehem, while they were there in Bethlehem, nobody made room. Nobody would do anything for them. So they ended up having to go to a stable, or they were out in a place, not right out in the center of a marketplace, but they were somewhere in a corner. Some say that they were in a stable. We just don't know for sure. And I've preached it as they were in a stable in a dark and smelly place, hanging out with the animals, the cow back there chewing, the sheep are back there bad. And I want you to know, it stink, it's filthy. It is a situation and a place where it is truly unsanitary. So how can you allow something that good, that precious, that is going to save the entire world, be born in a situation like that? How are you going to let the Christ child come into a dark and smelly place? But the reality is that I wonder, in the mind of Mary, did she think for a second, "Lord, did you forget about me? You told me that all generations would call me blessed. Gabriel told me that I was blessed and highly favored. I ain't feeling highly favored. I ain't feeling real blessed right now. Lord, did you forget me?" We might not be going through what Mary is going through, but with some of the stuff we're dealing with and we're looking at, we're saying, "Lord, did you? I've been praising you. I've been thanking you. I've been doing all that you're calling me to do. Why must it seem like all is breaking loose. Did you? And then all of a sudden that water breaks. All of a sudden, those contractions are like a minute apart. Deacon Elwood, she has reached 10 centimeters. I can see the head crowning. And I can say in so many ways, I can hear Mary saying, Lord, not like this, not right now. But I want you to know that God's time is not our time. God's way is not our way. But once God tells you that you are blessed and that you are highly favored, he never said that it would be easy. He never said that it would be smooth. He didn't say all the streets you ride on going to be straight. He never said that you wouldn't have any more problems. You just got to hold on and know that I am blessed. Anybody in here feel blessed right now? Anybody in here know you're blessed? God hasn't forgotten you. But she has this baby. There's no place to lay him. So they take an old eating trough. They wipe it out as best they can. They had some blankets with them. And they put them in this eating trough, a manger. They already had the abundance of the cloths. King James says swaddling cloths. But they took the cloths. You see, and for those who have babies, you know that once you have a baby, the first thing they do is they take it and they wrap the baby tight in that cloth. You know why? Because the baby is not used to all that freedom. So in order for them to make that adjustment, you got to put them back a little tight, because where they came from was a little tight. You know, and so initially when they come out, to keep them at ease, you got to wrap them real tight. So what they did was they took Joseph and they wrapped him in the cloths and they put the cloths a little tight. And then they lay Jesus in the feeding trough. A manger out there where folk were walking by. I could hear Mary screaming while she is going through the labor process. And Joseph yelling, push! Push! Can I get some help? I ain't got time for you. Y'all are invisible. So in so many ways, if they didn't know what they knew, they could make the mistake of thinking that they have been forgotten. Because we have to understand that we serve a God who has a purpose for everything he does in our lives. Do I got a witness in God's house? Don't you know that whatever happened to you, it wasn't an oops, my bad. God don't work like that. There's a purpose for everything that you deal with, all the stuff you are going through, because God is showing you something. He wants you to know, no matter what happens around you, don't you dare take your eyes off me. I've brought you this far. I'm going to take you all the way. You might not understand right now what's happening. You might not understand, Joseph and Mary, why my son is born in a place that is accessible by everybody. They don't need a key to get in. There's no wall to keep them out. Nobody got to come knocking on the door. Folk can just walk by and see the baby Jesus lying in a food trough for animals. So as they wrap their hands and arms and mind around what is just taking place, then I want you to know, Reverend Dad, God is always working. Because I want you to know, out in a distant field, not that far away, but right outside the skirts of town, there was a whole bunch of shepherds who were watching over the flocks. And what they're saying is that these particular shepherds were responsible for watching over the sheep that were to be utilized to be sacrificed. Because they always sacrifice the sheep every single day. So they had to have those shepherds watch over the sheep. But I want you to also know that Deacon Jones, they didn't really like the shepherds. You know why? Because they could not maintain all the rituals and the cleansing laws, because them dudes always had to deal with them sheep. So in so many ways, I want you to know that they just had to tolerate them. You see, Bruce, I want you to know that that folk will look at you and deal with you just because they have to. They ain't going to do no more or no less. Just do what they have to do because they really don't want to deal with you. They don't really want to be around you, because the whole time, whenever the shepherds come into town, everybody know, oh, Lord, here come them shepherds, them stinking dudes smelling like sheep. You always know where they are. You know how sometimes you can smell folk before you see them? Oh, somebody going to work with me. Not that they always smell bad. Ain't that right, Brother Walter? Everybody don't smell bad before you see them. Some of them got that good stuff on. Some got that Versace on. Some got on that Old Spice. Some got on, I don't know no other cologne, so go on and work with me. Armani, amen. Some of them just say, I just had that good soap. That's what you're smelling right now. But there are times you will smell folk before you see. And these were the shepherds. So the thing is, those who were truly the most orthodox Jews didn't really like the shepherds. But they tolerated them because they served a purpose. So in so many ways, society would keep them out in the field. Now, if you kept out in the field long enough, you will think that society has what? Forgotten you. And since folk in society don't care about me, then maybe God doesn't care about me. If society has forgotten me, then maybe God has forgotten me. Thank God there's nobody up in this house that feels that God has forgotten you. Even though folk in society have thrown labels on you, even though folk in society have said this and that about you, you don't care about that because you know that God has not forgotten about you. Even though things ain't going as well in your life as you would like, you had big dreams and now you got to live through some of the small stuff. But as you look at it and live through the small stuff, you still got the big dreams. But it seems like folk have forgotten you. But I'm here to tell you, I don't care how society has labeled you. I don't care if they call you the working poor. I don't care if they say that you are the ones who are at the bottom of the barrel. I'm here to tell you, God hasn't forgotten about you. If you don't believe me, let's go on and look at verses 8 through 20. Because when we get to verses 8 through 20, it tells us about how there were shepherds in the field watching over the flock. And then all of a sudden, a bright light shone. And it was an angel hanging out there. And I want you to know, those of y'all that grew up in the country, if there is a new moon out there, that means it's dark. Y'all that grew up out in the country, y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on, don't get so holy now because you got all them lights. Because you know when you was out there growing up in the country, it was dark outside. And when these shepherds are out there, they might have that little lantern in their hand, but that ain't a whole bunch of light, but they're trying to watch over the sheep. But then all of a sudden, a light illuminates all around you. And all of a sudden, you are horrified because you ain't expecting to see no spotlight like that. And now that you see this light, they all of a sudden become afraid. But then the angels say, "Hey, you ain't got to be scared of me. You ain't got to be afraid of me. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to dismiss you. I'm here to bring you some good news, because I want you to know that in the city of David, in Bethlehem, is born the Savior of the world. He has come for all people." And I can see the shepherds looking at, well, wait a minute, why are they talking to us? Reverend Dad, why are they talking to us? We the folk who walk around stinking like sheep all day. Why are they talking to us? We ain't living on a house on the hill. Why are they talking to us? We ain't all out of bag of chips, two sodas and a shake on the side. We are not all that. Why is this angel letting us know? We ain't even got a whole lot of time to read the Bible because we always got to chase behind them sheep. We got to keep the sheep safe. We got to do this. We got to do that. But why are they making the announcement to us? The reason why the announcement was made to them, because God was letting them know, I don't care who has forgotten you. You are not forgotten. And I know I haven't told nobody, and y'all going to be the first ones I'm telling. And I want y'all to know that after he told them the good news, what happened? Don't you know the heavenly host came out? Do you see it in the scripture? And when the heavenly host came out, what they start doing? Praising the Lord. You see, and I want you to understand something. That is a key for us, Sister Davis. That's why we don't ever come here and act like it ain't no big thing to come here and give God praise. We ain't trying to impress you. We ain't trying to tell you that we're all that. We just letting you know how good God has been to us. We want you to know the Lord has brought us a mighty long way. The Lord has turned us around. The Lord has healed and delivered us. The Lord has done some of this and some of that. You just don't know what my story is. But God knows my story, and he is the one who brought me through. So there's no way I'm ever going to sit here and act like God ain't done nothing for me. Do I got a witness in God's house? If the angels in heaven are praising God, are you getting it? Now, after that happened, check this out. After they received the news, something happened to them. They said, you know what? I don't care who in society has forgotten us, Sister Holmes. Sister Mamie, God did. So after the angel went back up and the heavenly host went back up with him, you know what they said? We got to go see about this. And Deacon Faulkner, don't you know they got themselves together? They left sheep. They took them on stinking cells and they went on into town. And they went looking for a baby lying in a manger. And I want you to know that the only reason why Jesus was born that way was so that the folk who were on the outside would be able to come in to see Jesus. I want you to know that whatever God does, he does it perfectly. There's always a purpose and what God is doing. Everybody say purpose. I know right now your road might be a little bumpy. You might not understand what you're going through, but God is giving you a purpose, and he's going to show you why you are dealing with what you are dealing with. So all of a sudden, these shepherds, bad enough when one come around. Deacon Elwood, I don't know how many of them it were. But Lord, you didn't gather a whole bunch of stinky folk smelling like sheep. And they're all herding together like they herd the sheep. And they're all just looking, trying to find a baby lying in a manger. And then when they all of a sudden roll up on him, they see the baby lying in the manger. When they see Jesus and he's wrapped in those cloths, you know what they're saying? God, you haven't forgotten us. You love us. You allowed us to see the Christ child. You allowed us to see the Savior of the world. You told us before anybody else knew. It wasn't on Instagram. It wasn't on Facebook. It wasn't texting anybody. Lord, you told us. You told us face to face, and we were the first to know about it. And now that we've seen them, they started telling everybody around them what the Lord did for them out there in the field. And some folks say, yeah, he did what? What did he do again? But then all of a sudden, they stopped fanning and started listening. They wasn't stinking as bad anymore. All they started doing is hearing what they were saying. They could see the jubilation in their face. They could see the radiance all over them. They could see the excitement all in them, because they knew that the Lord had done something for these dudes. Even though they might not look the part like some folk, I want you to know they came to Jesus just as they were. Oh, somebody gonna catch that. Remember how I told y'all last Sunday, come on, when you come to church just as you are. And our Sister Davenport, Lord bless her, she knows she up in the choir a lot. They pulling up and they come walking into church. She said, well, I had a good mind to wear my pajamas today. See, I started to mess with her. I said, as long as you had a robe on, you okay. See, I started to mess with it, but I gave her a pass. But you understanding what I'm saying? You see, God ain't looking at all this stuff. He ain't looking at all this stuff. He ain't looking at the bling. He ain't looking at the swirl. He ain't looking at the rings. He ain't looking at the tie. He ain't looking at the dress. God's looking at the what? Huh. He's looking at what's inside making us tick. And when we come to God and we bring God the best we have on the inside, I don't care what it looked like on the outside, that the Lord is going to bless it. And don't you know that when they left Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, them brothers went back to the field praising God, giving him the glory. So what is that telling you? Is that we don't just praise God in the place. We ought to have some praise when we're going outside the place. Because if it had not been for the Lord giving us an opportunity, I tell you, oh well. Now I want you to understand something. Y'all don't realize it makes me feel good when I look and I don't see a whole bunch of empty pews. Because on Sunday, we expect all the pews to be full. But then some folks say, well, this is Christmas. Well, let me help you understand something. If he was never born, then he never could have died for our sin. So when you're talking about this is Christmas, what better place to be to celebrate the birth of our Savior? There is no better place to be. Well, we got family traditions. Well, you wouldn't have any kind of traditions if Jesus didn't make a way out of no way, Brother Simpson. And since the Lord made a way, I know we might have some things we like doing. Well, you know, when I like first waking up in the morning on Christmas morning, I like to have a warm cup of eggnog. Sip on my eggnog and eat a couple of Christmas cookies. But now that it fell on Sunday, I got to go to church. I can't believe it. Somebody going to work with me? Don't worry, we get ready to shut it down in just a few minutes. But what I want you to understand is that I don't care how times gets tough on us sometimes. I want you to know, you and I have received something. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got a great gift. And that great gift that we all received, his name is what? Who is the lily of the valley, our bright and morning star. He is our all in all. He has made a way out of no way. He sticks closer to us than any brother. He is the one we can always look to. He ain't ever going to leave us nor forsake us. He will always be right there for us. Oh, what a mighty God. You are not. You are not. You are not. I don't care who snubs you. I don't care who turns their back on you. I don't care who don't see you. I want you to know God sees you. You are not. You see, my brothers and sisters, it's a time for us as the people of God to be excited. Because we've been blessed to be able to be in church on Christmas morning to celebrate Jesus' birthday. What better place to be? Because the Lord wants us to celebrate him. And where better to celebrate him than in the church? He said the gates of hell shall not prevail. And since the gates of hell shall not prevail, he wants us to come together. Amen. And if we have the opportunity to be here on his birthday, it's time for the people of God to celebrate the one who's brought us a mighty long way. And his name is Jesus. Let us all rise to our feet. I'm trying to discipline myself. Lord knows. Whew. You are not forgotten. Are you hearing me? Even if you got to leave this place today and go home and eat by yourself, you are not forgotten. Even if you ain't got a gift under your tree, even if you don't have a tree, you are not. Why? Because the Lord loves you. And he gave us all the great gift. And the gift that he gave us, his name is Jesus. And he came, and our gift came wrapped, y'all. He was wrapped with love, peace, joy. Oh, Lord, let me stop. All right.